Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning. This is Pastor Vincent Xavier. Good to be with you on this Friday, a day we have anticipated for quite some time. Our dear friend and brother Daniel Seckham has arrived in Northwest Arkansas last night. We've had some quality time together. He's having a great time, doing well. And the conference begins tonight at 6 o'clock right here in Northwest Arkansas. We are looking forward to these next 3 days and the impartation that's going to be happening. We're very happy that Daniel is here. We're very happy we can host this conference. And we're very happy that some of you are going to be able to be joining us today for the conference. And we're looking forward to it. And definitely, it is a time to arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And we are thankful that this is a time to accelerate. This is not a time to downshift, ladies and gentlemen. Do not downshift into the comfort zone again. God's already stirred your nest. He's brought you forth. And so accelerate. Take it into fifth gear and overdrive. We are living in days just like that. And one of the things that I want to begin with today, I want to talk about, is our president, President Trump, a man that I voted for, and a man I would have to honestly say, from my heart, now, you know, the heart is a tricky thing sometimes, but I love this man. I love his strength. I have never once thought, oh, he needs to tone it down. Never once. In fact, I always thought he needed to take it up to the next notch as well. And I would pray for that. I have personally, in my excitement of voting for him, watching him do the things that he has done, have been very excited and then have been disappointed by certain things. For example, using the Lord's name in vain. I wrote President Trump a letter right after that happened. And in my letter, whether he got it or not, I do not know. I said, "Dear Mr. President, we are here. We've got your back. There are people that will support you in everything you're doing. But please do not take the Lord's name in vain, because we will not compromise and just continue to back up that kind of activity." I haven't heard him say it again, and so I'm thankful, and I think a lot of people prayed. He's surrounded by evangelical Christians, and I would hope that those evangelical Christians that surround him told him, please don't do that. We've got your back. You don't need to go there. And so that was a disappointment. There was a disappointment with his, from the very beginning, his alignment with the LGBT community and his advocation for their rights. But I understand, and again, my disappointment, Josiah. He comes in. No, we do not permit anything that is an offense to God or an abomination to God. So my hope is for a stronger movement in that with the president. So yes, there's been some disappointments and we cry out and we keep our eyes on Jesus. But I also need to talk about the people that are out there. And we all have to be very careful. This is not putting someone down to build oneself up or any of that, or I'm the good guy, you're the bad. That's not it, okay? But things get a little crazy. Recently, there's a video clip that I'm going to play for you in just a moment so you can hear it again, perhaps a couple of times, because I've watched it, and it was so obvious to me what the president was saying, and yet – now there's videos everywhere that the president is calling himself the chosen one, and he's working for the Antichrist and all these different things, okay? And I want to address that because that is not what happened. The president did not tell everybody, I am the chosen one, when he looked into heaven. It's not what happened. So what really happened, and we're going to walk through this, and I'm going to show you in the scriptures, by Jesus's words, by the word of God, Trump has been told, President Donald J. Trump, the president of the United States of America, has been told from the beginning of his presidency that he was the chosen one. He was a King Cyrus, a savior of Israel, et cetera, et cetera. Now, talking about his battle with China, he looks up to the sky and says, I'm the chosen one. But it's so obvious what he was really doing. You know, here's a man that's been told from the beginning, you're Cyrus, you're the chosen one of God, you're meant to be here, you're the friend of Israel. Now, I'm going to go back in scripture and show you all the kings of Israel, and Israel does need to acknowledge the King of Kings, Yeshua, as the only true King of Israel, but throughout their history, they've always had kings, judges, deliverers, saviors. I'm going to read to you a scripture in the last days how God would send saviors to Mount Zion, out of the book of Obadiah. And so President Trump has been a friend of Israel, the natural Israel, okay, and the Israeli people that have flocked back to that country since it was reborn in 1948. We know that. That's a prophetic marker in the destiny of the world. There's no doubt about that. And whatever people say about Israel in the Middle East, I've been there, and I have seen the culture, and I have witnessed the Spirit of God in that area, that the Israeli people, the Jewish people, are a people that God's heart is after, and they are really there, okay? That is a truth. According to the natural lineage, they are there, and many of God's spiritual children are there that have built churches that witness to the Jewish people, et cetera, et cetera. I've been there. I've seen their worship. I've seen them shut the city streets down on the Sabbath. Yes, they're under the law. No, they have not returned to Christ. Yes, they're still in a lot of trouble. I get that. But as far as Israel being that nation, it's there. Just like it never ended, if you will, going all the way back to Moses going in the land, or King David, the judges. It's just continued on. It's just continued on for them under that old system of government. Now, Donald Trump, President Donald Jonathan Trump, okay, he's talking on the lawn of the White House, and he's expressing his battle because he's surrounded by the news media that wants to crucify him. And I mean, any little blemish that they find, they're going to go after. Now, the news media is not concerned that he's not supporting or that he, because he does align himself supposedly to some degree with the homosexual community. Well, they're not upset by that. You know, that's where people like myself get upset, where Christians all over the country should be a little bit disappointed and pray for the spirit of Josiah to come upon our president so that he will break down the houses of the sodomites, the whole LGBTQ community movement within our nation. That's what we want. And that's not being bigoted or religious. We just know that psychologically that is destroying the mind of many people in our country and around the world. So, okay, that's another issue. But when big name ministries, honest to God, when big name ministries who have changed their position several times, they keep changing, like whatever direction the wind blows, they kind of go with the changing tide. And when big name ministries begin to bring a sense of outrage to their followers about the president's doings that are not actually real. You see, I could express my disappointment in the president and write him a letter and say, please, dear God, send Josiah. But I know that what I'm saying is true. He was backed and endorsed by the log cabin Republicans about 6 or 7 days ago. And in 2016, the log cabin Republicans did not endorse the president of the United States. Okay, but he has now recently been endorsed. And the reason why is because they said he's done enough for the LGBT community to give them equal rights and civil rights and all that stuff so that they would endorse him. Two people have left the log cabin Republican Party because they didn't know how to tell their children that we supported Donald Trump somehow. Okay, now the log cabin Republican Party has been around since about 1977 or 1978. And they are a pro-homosexual LGBT community. They are a right-wing conservative Republican part of the party that promotes the rights of the LGBT community. So they're homosexuals, and they get behind them, and they support them, and they create laws for them, and they banter on their behalf for them, okay? Very powerful organization. Men like Daryl Issa and others are part of the log cabin, and he was a senator and congressman from California. We met him years ago. He didn't know what a log cabin was. I thought he liked Abraham Lincoln. What do I know? Well, I'm growing up, and I'm understanding some things now. So anyways, the president of the United States is in a multifaceted battle, okay? We don't know how the man is standing. He actually loves what he's doing. That is amazing. So when big name ministries begin to condemn him and they say, okay, they say, my God, the president just called himself the chosen one. He's the Antichrist. That is not what happened. Okay, I want to show you what really happened. And when people are egotistical, and I'm going to tell you something right now, and I've normally held back, and I'm going to watch myself on this one. We all have to be super careful of our ego and our pride, right? I've been pretty humbled through the years by some personal things that, you know, God has done to do that. But I could recognize pride and ego pretty good. And if I don't recognize it in myself, I've got about 40 people around me that will tell me immediately. And I'm very thankful for that. But there are some ministers out there that I have met personally and now have been launched into their high place. And their egos are so massive. And by ego, they're going to get themselves in trouble. And we need to pray for them. Okay, I'm going to say it like that. One particular ministry called out the president and said, oh, my God, he called himself the chosen one. He is the Antichrist. Oh, my God, what's going on? It's not what happened. Here's the speech. It's a two-minute clip of the president of the United States of America on the lawn of the White House. And I hope everybody can hear this nice and loud. And he's talking about his battle with China, okay? He's talking about the tariff war. And he's being asked all these questions. Then at one point, he looks up to the sky and he says, I'm the chosen one. What is he saying? He's saying what all the evangelicals around him have been saying from the beginning. You're the Cyrus. You're the chosen one. You're the savior of Israel. You're the, you know, the friend of it. You're all these things. So he looks up. Well, he's directly confronting these people. And then he says, it's not my battle. It's a battle that everybody should have been doing in the past presidencies. And he says, but I'm doing something. And he looks up to God in heaven and says, I'm the chosen one. Almost like, you know, you Christians have been telling me I'm the chosen one from the beginning. So now I'm fighting. So I'm the chosen one. He doesn't do it in an address to himself. Here's the clip. Let's listen to the president himself.
The fake news, of which many of you are members, is trying to convince the public to have a recession. Let's have a recession. The United States is doing phenomenally well. But one thing I have to do is economically take on China, because China has been ripping us off for many years. President Clinton, President Bush, and President Obama and others should have done this long before me. My life would be much easier, although I enjoy doing it, but my life would be much easier if I just said, let China continue to rip off the United States, all right? It'd be much easier, but I can't do that. We are winning against China. They've lost 2.5 million jobs in a very short period of time. They want to make a deal. It's got to be a deal that's good for the United States. They want to make a deal. Probably we will make a deal. But if I didn't do that, and I'm not doing this. Somebody said it's Trump's trade war. This isn't my trade war. This is a trade war that should have taken place a long time ago by a lot of other presidents. Over the last 5 or 6 years, China's made $500 billion. $500 billion. Ripped it out of the United States. And not only that, if you take a look, intellectual property theft. Add that to it. And add a lot of other things to it. So somebody, excuse me, somebody had to do it. I am the chosen one. Somebody had to.
All right. So at that very moment, the president said somebody had to do it. And then he looks up in not a mocking fashion, but he looks up and says, all right, everybody's been telling me I'm the chosen one. He looks up and says, I'm the chosen one. He doesn't do it in pride and ego as I'm the guy. It's almost like, well, I'm doing it. You guys keep saying I'm the chosen one. So he looks up and says, I'm the chosen one. You know, it's not what people are saying it was. Now, if it were, I'd be right there too. But what's happening is there is an alignment because there are big ministries out there that are, and I want to be very careful, and I do, I want to be careful, but there are ministries out there coming against Israel today and all that's going on there. And then they're making terrible mistakes. My wife and I watched this entire program. We go, oh, my God, how could they be so deceived? Well, when you burden yourself with Israel, you're going to be burdened. That's what Zechariah talks about. And, you know, do not boast against the natural branches, because if you boast against them, you better consider yourself. God will cut you off, too. And I'm just watching ego. And now it's an ego against the president's ego, if you will, and people trying to put him down to lift their ministries up or whatever and start this mantra to get people more confused that the president's calling himself the chosen one. No, he was only responding to what he's been told by all of his advisors and counselors. And, you know, you've been chosen for this. You're the Cyrus. And so he kind of looks up with a, you know, his arms open. I'm the chosen one, right? And it's not what people have said, I'm telling you. So you be very careful. Now, let me just share this with you. In Obadiah chapter 1, I want to just read a simple verse here because in verse 17, listen to this. This is Obadiah chapter 1, verse 17. It says, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau, that's your Palestinians out there today, for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall be not be any remaining of those of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. So here's a time where those that come against Israel are going to be dust. Verse 19, and they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau. They of the plain, the Philistines, are going to possess it. And they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And then here we go. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath. And the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. Watch this now. Verse 21, Obadiah 1:21, and saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Now, what is that saying here? Okay. The word saviors is Yasha, and it really simply means to cause to be safe, to defend, to rescue, okay, to get the victory. Israel, from the very beginning of it becoming a nation, has had kings and judges and deliverers and saviors, whether they were Gideon or whether they were David or one of a who knows how many. that have simply gone about to be a savior to Israel. Now, 2,000 years ago, yes, everything in the Old Covenant came to an end in the economy of heaven. Israel has continued on. They were obliterated for 1,900 years. They've come back. They're a nation now, and they are beautiful people there. They are beautiful people, and there are terrible people. I mean, that's everywhere, right? We get that. But this is not the time to be, in my understanding of Scripture. I could be wrong, and I understand the other side's conversation. This is not the time to boast against the natural branches. This is not the time to burden yourself with Israel. You know, and there's no way we would ever say that they don't need salvation. Yes, there's no way to heaven but through Jesus Christ for the Jew and the Gentile. We get that. So what is my point today? You know, I just want to make it clear. President Donald J. Trump did not look up to heaven and say, "I'm the chosen one," as though he had some egotistical idea of, "I'm the one." He did not do that. Everybody around him all these years has been saying, "You're the chosen one." So now he's fighting China in a battle. And he looks up and he says, you know, nobody else did it. No other presidents did it. And he looks up like, "Well, I'm the chosen one." I'm telling you, that's what he said. That's what he did. He was not calling himself the one. Okay, everybody else did that. And he almost kind of like, you know, "You people keep telling me I'm the chosen one. Now I'm doing something. And you're kind of telling me," and what he's basically saying is, "Everybody's told me I'm the one doing it, so I'm doing it." But he wasn't elevating himself above the Lord or making himself the Antichrist or any such thing. And if you start listening to these other ministries out there, I'm not telling you to listen to my ministry. I'm telling you to go look for yourself and have some discernment. And if you start listening to these other ministries, Trump is the Antichrist. Trump said he's the chosen one. You're going to get further confused. It's not what happened. And what we need to continue to do, is it fair to be disappointed by some of the president's actions? Absolutely, it is right. Not only fair, it's right. We expect, as Christian men and women, a higher standard. Now, not what so many established, you know, people want out there. They want a polished politician. You know, Barack Hussein Obama was a polished politician. He was able to communicate with the world with a big smile and say things exactly the way they were supposed to be said. You know, that's what the establishment wants. They like to have their puppeteers in the office so that they can, you know, just kind of control them any way they want. I do not resent. I am not disappointed when the president gets tough and he says to Ilhan Omar and to Rashida Tlaib, you don't like America? Leave it. I really believe that those two congresswomen are anti-Christ, anti-Semitic. They are some really bad people. And the only reason why they were elected is because of the Somalian community that elected them, because they kind of ran in those areas that are predominantly Somalians. So they didn't win in Minnesota and in Michigan because of, you know, the good people of the United States of America voted for them. No, they got in and they are backed by some pretty strong powers. I will admit that. And they are human beings that need salvation. Don't get me wrong there either. But for them to have been so outspoken in their hatred against Israel and in their communications, and then to have ministries, supposed Christian ministries, now defending them. Now, I know one of the ministers at one time would have blasted the daylights out of the entire Barack Hussein Obama administration for years. And they've shifted. They keep shifting, turning in every direction like a chameleon. That's not right. That is not right. That is not right to shift like a chameleon for whatever reason. Maybe because you have a growing audience and now you're going to shift the things that you say. You're going to say it a little different because there's too many ears out there. I don't know what it is, but it's wrong. Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, they should be fired if we're talking about natural things. Okay, we're talking about getting behind the president's agenda, which obviously he's not like Barack Obama, surrounded himself with the Muslim Brotherhood. He surrounded himself with Christian men and women. Now, my question to the evangelical Christians that are around the president is, you know, and maybe they have, and maybe there's a strategy. You would hope so, but until it's revealed, we remain disappointed because we want the president to raise to the standard of what God says is right and wrong. And then people say, well, you know, you don't want to have a society like that. We're a democracy. We're a free nation. Yeah, look where our freedoms brought us, right? I mean, look where our freedom has got us to. How insane. We're like in the insane asylum in America, and people are confused. But I honestly believe that when you look at things today, it really is crazy. But the people that are saying it's crazy are crazy themselves if they're not careful. Okay. I needed to get that out. I just needed to say, I'm going to continue to do what I asked our church to do last week. We're going to continue to pray for the president of the United States, that the Holy Spirit of God would put the spirit of Josiah in that man. And, you know, my maybe here's how I would look at it. You know, the spirit of Cyrus has been on the man, supposedly, and he has been a friend of Israel, and he brought the embassy, and he's done a lot of great stuff, by the way. He's made us a friend of Israel. And here's the funny thing. One of these ministers, when Barack Hussein Obama was an enemy of Israel, this minister would cry out, he's against Israel, he's against Israel. But now the president is a friend of Israel, and he's crying out against the president. He's a friend of Israel, and Israel's bad today. That's really absurd. And that is hypocritical, and that is double-minded, and that is wrong. That is wrong. Now, what's important is to pray that our president, Donald J. Trump, or the president of the American people in our country, he has the spirit of something like Josiah come on him, come into him. A mindset like Josiah, who at 26 years old says, you know what, I'm going to do something for the Lord's house. I'm going to repair it. You know, the president is doing that. So a shift from the Cyrus anointing, if you will call it, if that were true, to the Josiah anointing. If President Donald J. Trump is not elected or the Republicans don't win, what's going to happen if the United States come under the socialistic left? Well, it may happen. It may very well happen because we may be heading 2020 may be the launching point for the next 3.5 years of the greatest tribulation ever hit the face of the earth. That is possible. It's not, I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it's possible for that to happen. The people of this country that have some kind of, and this is where it gets a little tough, but have a desire for moral values to return, spiritual principles, clean up the nation, we need a Josiah. And in present form, the president of the United States, although he's done very good things in his alliance with Israel and other really good things by getting Supreme Court justices that are supposedly conservative Republicans that will overturn Roe versus Wade, he's done all of that, but maybe he needs the next 4 years to accomplish that. You know, everybody knows we all think the same way. That's a possibility. Or our delay is over coming up to the elections, 2020. The time of repentance has failed. I am reminded that Josiah, even though he led a reformation, the prophetess told those that came to search the word of the Lord, the words of judgment, they're going to happen, but because this man has a humble heart, it's not going to happen in his lifetime. But everything that was written against the nation for their bloody crimes against God were fulfilled right afterwards, and that's when the Babylonians came to power with Nebuchadnezzar and totally destroyed everything. Okay, but we have been in a moment of what people said a reprieve and all that, and you know, we're just willing to go with something until we hear the absolute red flag. No, no, that's not it. Keep your eyes open. My eyes, like your eyes, are on Jesus. That's it. But Donald J. Trump, President Donald J. Trump, has become a friend to Israel, much like David was in Israel, much like anybody, any of the kings, any of the deliverers, any of the saviors have ever been in the support of Israel. Donald Trump has done that in Old Testament fashion, if you will. The idea is to get those people born again. okay? Because the sins they're committing, which we understand, are going to be visited upon them again. We know that. We do know that. Now, is anything that I just said a contradiction to my position where we are in the economy of God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I feel that the article I read yesterday, and may I just one more time remind you of what was said yesterday, because I've been going over this, mulling it over and over and over in my mind since yesterday, and I can't get away from it. And it was what we were talking about, the matrix being very real. And before I do that, my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, is coming to the airwaves right now. And Patricia, I want to say good morning to you. God bless you. And I'm not sure if you heard the first 30 minutes of the broadcast or not, but I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Okay. My thoughts are we have one more day to get it right. And here is the difficulty in it. Ages ago, we never had such confusion as we do today because of all of the marketing and the radios and the computers and everything we see on media is throwing out information, and we're getting into great confusion. And it is impossible to know the absolute truth about everything. But this is one thing I do know, that the best choice we'll ever make is to put our life in the hands of God at this time and depend on Him. I mean, totally depend on Him. He is the perfect protective Father that we have. And He always has our best interest at heart. He has our best interest at heart. When we follow His ways, we can never go wrong. We don't know the truth absolutely, but He does. And the world's way leads only to further confusion. But we can know peace. And that's what's so imperative. We could know peace, real peace, lasting peace, by depending on a trustworthy Lord that we have if we have called upon His name. And I pray that all that has, who are listening has made that decision. Like I said, ages ago, most people were illiterate and news was spread by word of mouth. And today, ironically, we are flooded with nonstop information. But life is more confusing than ever. That's why the word has already been written. We know in the book of Revelation, we know in Daniel, we know in Matthew and Luke and Mark what is to transpire. That's where we keep our eyes on, that which has already been written. And how do we fit it all in together? We can't. But we know that the end is very clear. Revelation speaks of all of it. Study the word. Study the book of Revelation. We're coming to the most important part of it now.
And Patricia, bringing up the book of Revelation, I have always wondered, and I wonder if anybody else has ever wondered, how is it possible that according to Revelation chapter 13, the whole world, it says, and I'm going to read that as clear as a bell. Here's what it says in Revelation 13 about the whole world worshiping the beast, okay? It says in Revelation, this is definitely during the Great Tribulation time, and it says in verse 4, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. His deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And then it goes on to tell, you know, how long he's going to be in power, how he's going to overcome the saints. And then in verse 8, it says, let me look at verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. every person on this planet will be coaxed into worshiping and giving their allegiance to the dragon, to the beast. And have you ever asked yourself, how is that possible? Now, the strategies are probably many-sided, but I want to go back to that article yesterday because it's mind-blowing, where this is from a ministry that's been out there, very quiet but very constant, and they've delivered some pretty amazing concepts to us. And this title was "The Matrix is Real." And I just want to just go through this with you. And I, dear God, please pray that we understand. And so we get it. It's talking about the neural. Now, neural is the mind. Nano, which is miniature, tiny, you know, a nanosecond. And robotics. Neural, nano, robotics, and smart dust. Okay, this is talking about a plan. Listen to what James Giordano, who was the chief of the Neuroethics Studies Program. He's the chief of the Neuroethics Studies Program at the Pellegrino Center for Bioethics at Georgetown University. That's where Supreme Court justices have come from, et cetera, et cetera. And he speaks to the weaponization and misuse of brain sciences in tandem with a sentient digital simulation of our world. He talks about the use of neural interfacing and physiological interfacing through remote-controlled small-scale systems to create nano-swarms of biopenetrable materials that you cannot see, that can penetrate the most robust biochemical filters, that are able to integrate themselves through a variety of membranes, mucous membranes, and wherever, mouth, nose, ears, eyes, and they can be done in such a level that their presence is almost impossible to detect. And as such, the attribution becomes exceedingly difficult to demonstrate. The idea here is to put minimalized electrodes in a network within a brain through only minimal intervention to be able to read and write into the brain function in real time remotely. I'm just giving you a general outline of what this professor is teaching and warning about, okay? And when you stop and really think about this, but let me finish this paragraph. The neural nanorobotics are being developed to enable a safe, secure, instantaneous, real-time interface between the human brain and both biological and non-biological computing systems. This technology would include brain-to-brain interfaces, brain-to-computer interfaces, and specifically brain-to-cloud. You know, the cloud on the internet, right? Interfaces to connect your brain to the cloud in real time and provide you with instant access to the world's knowledge and artificial intelligence as soon as you think of a specific topic. Now, we think this is sci-fi, right? But I want you to remember the title of this was "The Matrix is Real." And if you'll go back to The Matrix, and if you ever watched the movie where Zoe, right, the guy, or I forget his name, Neo, when he finally gave in and he came out of the world system and he's in a chair and they download him with the ability to do jiu-jitsu and karate and how to handle a weapon, well, they downloaded into his brain all this information through software programs. That was how many years ago? The technology that they were boasting about then is here now, but watch this. This technology will drastically alter the state of communications between humans and machines. Data transfer between living human brains and the cloud will require the use of supercomputers with artificial intelligence algorithms, while such supercomputers with processing speeds fast enough to handle the necessary volumes of data already do exist. They still have to be, or they still have to perfect the tiny interfacing devices that would be embedded deep in the brain. One approach for this is to create nano robots, tiny miniature, right, that can be aerosolized to place minimal sized electrodes in a network within a brain and through only minimal intervention to be able to read and write into the brain function in real time remotely. Once inside the brain, the devices would then wirelessly transmit encoded information to and from a cloud-based supercomputer network for real-time brain state monitoring and data extraction. Patents for such technologies already exist. Now, this is the professor at Georgetown University. You have a smartphone. You put it up to your ear. Your brain most likely has already begun an interfacing with the microchip that's in your phone that is constantly going into your head. The aerosol spray, you remember those chemtrails that we all were so concerned about that they were giving people Alzheimer's? Well, what if, in fact, the aerosol sprays that were being poured out all over the world was not the beginning of these nano electrodes coming into the brain through the eyes, the ears, the nose, already putting this interface with a supercomputer in the cloud that's writing information? In other words, the information coming into your brain may not be your own thinking. Obviously, the demonic spiritual warfare against the mind is very real. We have no problem thinking that Satan is speaking to our head, right? And so if Satan, the globalist, the beast, the dragon, is behind all of this, and they have already begun through genetically modified foods, chemicals and foods, the chemtrails, and many other different ways of these impossible to detect nanoparticles or robotics. Boy, Patricia, I know it sounds scientific and sci-fi, but man, you better take hold of your head, your thoughts about that.
Well, you know, I have thought about that, and it is quite interesting.
Talk about a helmet of salvation.
Not impossible, but I'm thinking about the apostles, and they asked a question to the Lord. They said, "What will be the sign of your coming and the sign of the close of the age?" And you know what Jesus answered? Jesus answered them, "Take heed that no one leads you astray." And I know this for sure. There are going to be many things that are going to try to lead us astray in what we believe or know or think we know. But I believe with all my heart that I am spared from God's wrath in much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be safe from the wrath through him. So I plead the blood of Jesus. And I believe under these circumstances, every Christian, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, begin to plead the blood of Jesus over their spirit, mind, and body for the absolute protection of any kind of incredible scientific technology used against man's mind.
And how about the helmet of salvation, the
absolutely
armor of God?
Yes, we could look at all of that.
Yeah, now we're not appointed to God's wrath, but we know the wrath of the dragon is what's coming in the great tribulation.
True.
We know that.
True.
So I get that. Now, Patricia, if we were trying to market this as a scheme or some dramatic theme, and what we would do is we would start selling tinfoil hats to everybody. Because I remember walking around and seeing people putting on tinfoil hats because they were afraid of the frequencies that were going on in the atmosphere. But it's not too far off, you know. But then again, people would say, hey, have you been to that church with the tinfoil hat? So everybody's got one. But we really do need a supernatural protection because these robotics, this tiny technology, they could have a gnat on your wall that looks like every other gnat. And they could remote control that gnat, but it is a spying device. We know that. We've seen them. We know how they work. The tiny, tiny, tiny little things that most people don't ever see. The dust that gets into someone's eyes. You ever go through a dust storm and you breathe in the dust? Well, these dust particles, the smart dust, literally robotics that you think, oh man, I just got a headache. But that was an invasion to form within your brain an ability to start the interface where they are now writing the script in your brain. And if you don't know the word of God and you're not able to take every thought captive under the obedience of Jesus Christ, you can begin to believe things about people. You can believe things about this, that, the other thing. And if you don't have the word of God deeply rooted in your spirit, man, I'm telling you what, this is spiritual warfare. How do you get the whole world to worship a beast and a dragon? Mind control. And their ability to utilize mind control, this professor out of Georgetown University is warning everybody.
You know, I claim to be spiritually alive. Spiritually alive because I have taken on Christ. And I claim that my judgment is satisfied. And I'm at peace with God, no matter what the world throws in our direction. We have to begin to know who we are. The bloodstream of God's people is purged, it's cleansed. We have to understand that his blood will take care of every incident against us. There are these things at work right now. I believe that there is mind control already at work. Seeing all of these murders that have been going on by these shooters, I believe they have been under the control of mind control already.
Maybe through drugs, psychedelics.
Through drugs,
yep.
Psychedelics, internet. They are being watched by certain spiritual entities, and they are being brought into bondage, and they are under mind control. This has already happened. It's already at work. What do we do? Is the question.
Well, I think one of the things we do is we just bury our head in the sand and we pretend it's not happening and we talk about better days. I mean, that's what the majority of people are doing right now. They don't want to hear this conversation. And all I'm doing is reading an article from a professor out of Georgetown University that's warning about the misuse of something that already exists. And then I'm reading my Bible and seeing at the last days, so many people are following the beast, worshiping the beast. How did they get there? I mean, it is a spiritual attack in every area of our food supply, the vitamins we take, the water we drink. I mean, everything is coming under the control of the beast.
That's why it's imperative that we start speaking the truth of God, that we have the mind of Christ. Our mind will not be inflicted or afflicted by outside forces of the enemy. Our mind will be covered and protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. I claim to have the mind of Christ and the power to overcome the enemy. And I believe the knowledge of this will do those very things we're speaking of right now, to be hesitant to come in our direction. But our faith must be strong and powerful in the blood of Jesus that cleansed us of all unrighteousness. So when the enemy comes to inflict, he cannot filtrate or interact with us.
You know, Patricia, there's a scripture in the Bible that says that we should give thanks when we eat. And then the food is sanctified. We bless the food we eat. A prayer we used to pray, and I remember Walter Fung was the first person I ever heard pray it. He said, we need to pray a blessing on the water we drink, the food we eat, and the air we breathe. And I'll tell you what, that is a prayer right now that we should just wake up every day and give thanks to God for life, and then ask him in the morning, Lord, bless. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the water we're going to drink today, the food we're going to eat today, the air we're going to breathe today. And we ask you to sanctify and bless it. Bless the water, bless the food, and bless the air. Sanctify it, cleanse it by thanksgiving and prayer. That's what the Word of God says. And we need to really begin to do that right now. I think it is an urgent cry to everybody listening. Maybe you're out there today. We've got about 10 minutes left in the program. You have any thoughts about what you heard? I mean, are we too far out there? Did we miss something? Is there a comment you would like to make? You know, we started out defending the president in a statement that he made yesterday because he was falsely accused by Christian ministries. And that's not right. Maybe you have a different way to look at it. But I believe that what I've seen, it's so obvious, definitely obvious, and I have no problem. And yet I'm disappointed by things that are being done. But maybe you have some thoughts or comments about something. Give us a call, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right into the broadcast. And Patricia, your thoughts.
Well, we're being challenged right now. This is a challenge that God is allowing us to have and to be involved in. And I praise God for it because it causes us to dig deeper into his word. It causes us to believe stronger in his word. And you know, I have been moved from the enemy's kingdom into the kingdom of God. And no way are those things going to touch me. Anything the enemy throws out in technology, AI, it matters not. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Jesus Christ couldn't be touched by it. We will not be touched by it. But we must start moving in a direction of knowing how evil is and what it is able to do with the mark of the beast, which that is. And I have gained the unmerited favor of God, and I'm going to continue to work in that direction.
And you know what's so awesome about what you're saying is you'll notice back in Revelation chapter 13, that the whole world that's following the beast, worshiping the beast, obviously they've taken the mark of the beast, but it's those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Exactly.
Which means those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life have not come under the spell. So there is a protection for not coming under the spell. And what you're talking about is the highest level of spiritual warfare, the highest zenith of one's faith growing into maturity. And this is where people are going to be able to go through this time without having received that mark, because if you receive it, you're goner for good. So there is a way to live in this world and not come under the spell, for the devil deceives the whole world. Now, a lot of people think the way that happens is through a pre-trib rapture. We're going to be out of here. We won't take it. But that's not the answer, because the people who do not receive that mark are living on this earth. And well, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen to that. Really, we're going to have to start standing strong, body of Christ. No fear. 1 Peter 1:18-19 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Our redemption will never perish. We must understand that. We must believe it with all our heart. Jesus testifies on our behalf that we are clean, and no weapon of darkness, no weapon of power from the enemy will have its way in us. It will not. We are free and we are protected from judgment. Come on, body of Christ. Let's stand strong. Let's know who we are. Let's believe with all our heart. We are free and conscious. We are not guilty any longer. Satan has no way in us. When he comes, he can find nothing within us.
Amen. And I've got a friend that just sent me a text, and I think this is the great way to start winding down the broadcast as we're getting ready for a three-day conference with Daniel Seckham. And we can't wait to hear what God has put in his heart for us. The scripture comes, his anger lasts only a moment, his goodness for a lifetime. Tears may flow in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Forgive us the wrongs we have done as we forgive the wrongs that others have done to us. Instead, be kind and tender-hearted to one another and forgive one another as God has forgiven you through Christ. Real faith and true Christianity is wrapped up in unbelievable, unstoppable, incredible love and forgiveness for all. We're going to have to maintain that spiritual mindset.
One other that I'd love to read. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ, who could touch on Christ? And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am the untouchable.
The Untouchables. I love it. That was a great movie many years ago. So we are coming, and that was a well said, Patricia Joy. to the end of our broadcast today. It's Friday, and we just love being on the air with you. We pray that some of the things we talked about may have been helpful. Again, you could go back and look at the video with the president who said, "I'm the chosen one," and realize he was not saying what people are saying he was saying. It's so obvious and clear. Let's pray for our president, the president of the United States of America, especially if you voted for him. So we need to continue to have hope that God is able to touch that man's spirit and his heart and his mind and bring him to the higher levels. And some of our disappointments about where he's at right now, I would not ignore them. I would write them out. I would send letters. I would pray about it. But when somebody accuses of something that's really not worthy of accusation, we need to stand up and we need to speak about that as well. On the other hand, when you go out of your house today, thank God for your life. Arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, but the light and the glory shall rise within you. Praise God.
And remember that Jesus answered the apostles saying, "Take heed that no one leads you astray."
Now, Patricia, also, you know, these conversations we have about being led astray, about what's going on in the atmosphere, what we're breathing in, what's going on with the Antichrist, the beast, those things could actually enable the spirit of fear in people's lives to really have a deep and dark and strong hold on them. How do we look at these things square in the eyes that have been revealed to us and not be afraid? How do we get to that root of fear and pluck it out and say, you know what? God, for his own reasons, has made us aware of what is coming in the last days. And Jesus himself said that men's hearts would fail them for fear of what they see coming on the earth. But how do God's people keep themselves out of fear? Give a nice two-minute rounded answer on that.
We stay out of fear by knowing that Christ, Jesus, did not give us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And when the enemy comes to shake us up, to bring us into a deceptive mode, we stand on the word of God by the blood of the Lamb. We will not be moved. He did not give us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. We begin to claim the sound mind that he gave us. We begin to claim the victory in the Holy Spirit in which we have. We begin to rebuke the spirit of fear, which brings torment. We will not be fearful. Immediately, when we realize that we're in a state of fear, we rise up and rebuke Satan and his cohorts trying to bring us into fear, because he is the spirit of fear himself. And when he does that, he also tries to bring us into torment, where our minds are tormented because we lose hope. We will not be afraid. We will rebuke the spirit of fear. We will command it to leave. We will command it to go to the dry place and to return no more. And we must understand this, that there will be false Christs and false prophets arise and show great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, the elect. And the elect is you and I. Hallelujah, hopefully. And so this is the idea of learning what's around, what's about, and how to stand against it.
Amen. Patricia, you wrote a book all about this, how to be set free and delivered from these bondages. The name of the book is Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. We're going to talk more about that probably next week. About 8 hours from now, we are going to be gathered together at our ministry center in Bella Vista, where Daniel, who has come to the United States with a message from Australia, is going to be ministering the Word of God. The idea is gathering the saints of God together for fellowship, to sit down and hear the word of God and to receive impartation that God has sent this man here on purpose. And maybe there's something that's going to be imparted to your life. I hope to see you, both Patricia and I, tonight. Would love to see you at 6 o'clock at the Ministry Center in Bella Vista. If you need directions, just go to our website at nwmglobal.org. That's NWM stands for New Wine Ministry. nwmglobal.org, and you'll be able to find us in directions to the Ministry Center. We'll be looking forward to seeing everyone. A final thought before we go, Patricia Joy?
Yes, one final thought. Please watch. Keep your eyes open. Evaluate, test, try the spirits. Bring everything to test that you might understand the true character of what's really going on and the pressures of it.
Amen. Well said. Right now, Deliverance Roundtable Discussion on OmegaRadio.org. That's OmegaRadio.org. Right now, you can listen live to this broadcast, Roundtable Discussion, Christian Bill of Rights. I'm Pastor Vince. We'll see you Monday. God bless. Have a super blessed weekend. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.